Now on today's program, Larry the Cable Guy farts his way back onto the show. It's Witless Protection. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies.
Big-titted, quick-witted.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in, as always. This week on the show, it's Witless Protection from 2008, directed by the genius auteur Charles Robert Karner. Yeah. I kind of think that this dude isn't real, and it's just Larry the Cable Guy.
That means I like Larry the Cable Guy now, because this guy somehow, even though this movie's terrible and he's directing a bunch of other garbage right now,
yes,
he wrote Gymkhana and Blind Fury, both previous episodes. I think those episodes are now available on our Patreon back archive.
I believe they were both recommends for the most part.
Of course, those are great. Those are great movies.
Yeah, what are you, fucking crazy?
Well, I'm just saying, get ready for a surprise with this one.
When was the last time we talked about Larry on this show?
It was only one other. We did Health Inspector, and then we did Tooth Fairy 2.
Health Inspector
was the last one, I think. And then 4 years ago, we did... Jingle All the Way 2.
Oh, God.
Is coming to town.
Oh, weird. God.
I completely forgot that.
There's literally, I mean, like, the scary part about this, guys, there's only one Larry left, and I don't know when we're going to do it. It's not on schedule.
Which one is it?
Delta Farce.
Oh, that's the one where they think they're in Iraq?
I mean, we've just been like holding on to that one. Like, I don't want to give it up yet.
Well, until we cover Delta Farce, I think this is the most politically driven Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. If you wanted to, like... You're putting together, Andrew, you work at Jacob Burns, you put out a program that is like, this is the aughts. It's There Will Be Blood, No Country for Old Men, Mulholland Drive, and this. Yeah. This summarizes the whole fucking thing.
It does.
Man, it was a real time travel experiment.
It's 2000 and late, man. It came out in 2008, and you could feel every inch of it. Everyone was excited that the Bush presidency was ending, except for this movie.
Yeah,
like, literally, yes. This is the one movie where it's like there's so many stops to be like, nobody says it, but everyone every couple of seconds is just like, thank you, President Bush. You know what, President Bush, that Katrina wasn't your fault. That was not, you know what, President Bush? That was not your fault.
That 9/11, that wasn't your fault neither.
It's perfect, because the whole point of this movie, we'll get to this, is he is he knows he's also the biggest idiot in the world.
Sure.
And yet he is always right.
Yep.
On everything.
Because maybe he's not as much of an idiot as you or he thinks he is.
Ah,
right? You're dumb like a fox.
That's weird. That'd be a new thing for a Larry the Cable
Guy. It's like if like Sherlock Holmes constantly shit his pants.
Yes.
What is with this guy? This guy needs to be on medication. He's probably like secretly lactose intolerant, and he's not taking care of it.
No,
and he's got other bowel problems. You should not be farting or shitting nearly this much.
That's the thing.
And this is a flatulent man.
No.
I'm not in a glass house here.
He just thinks that's because it's been happening so long and for so such a frequent amount of time that he just thinks that's how life is to be lived.
No.
And he's like, well, I eat the pizza and then 20 minutes later I shit it out.
Well, I don't even think you would need to hear him say a thing. Once you got to look at this Ted Kaczynski mansion he's living in here.
Oh, yeah, man.
This place, like, holy shit.
It's not bad.
I got to tell you, it looked like a pretty sweet bungalow. Of all the Larry the Cable Guy movies we've covered so far, this is the best domicile he's inhabited.
It's missing 48 guns, but
there's a gun rack. There's a
is
gun,
there?
There's
but
a
are there guns in it?
Yes.
Of course there are.
Here's the thing. This movie is the most like a movie of all the Larry movies we've done thus far, I think.
Yeah.
Like it's got a three-act structure.
Yeah.
Kind of sort of he actually learns a thing at the end sort of again.
And to this movie's credit, it is like rapid fire jokes. This is a very jokey movie. They're not good jokes. They're terrible. Terrible jokes.
It is a loaded script though.
Yeah.
It's almost too much.
It's too much.
It's a very familiar like the there's a bunch of movies like this. Starman is this, essentially.
Yeah.
As I mean, is It Happened One Night. Like, these are very similar.
Also, this is Tommy Boy a bit.
Yes, also Tommy Boy.
The Naked Gun. There's literally a Naked Gun joke that is taken and reused in this movie where... I forget if it's the main girl or Jenny McCarthy. I think it's the main girl. What's her name? What's the character name?
Bela Bovovich.
They're calling her Madeline.
Madeline is the character.
Has like a taxidermied beaver, and he says, "Oh, nice beaver," and it's just word for word. We're taking it right out of the Naked Gun.
Oh no, you're talking about Jenny McCarthy's character.
Okay, she's got a nice beaver as well.
Yes, there's a beaver joke.
Isn't
there.
That Yaphet when they go to they surprise her?
Yes, I think
that's
Yaphet
Kotto.
Right.
But
it's still
the
like,
great Yaphet Kotto in this fucking
what
movie.
What a fucking what Duke catastrophe.
And he's done like nothing else since. This is like his last film role.
No, really?
He did like a television appearance after this.
Okay, he's going to definitely get farinated at the Oscars. I love the man. Will be farinated.
Absolutely. Now,
you heard it here first.
This Larry the Cable Guy character, by the way, I think is the perfect example of all of these because of how we see this dude at the beginning of the movie. He's definitely the perfect example of all of these Rambo gunfucker lunatics that think that they can like single-handedly disarm a mass shooter because they got training. Like we open on him watching like a self-defense video. Of course, Eye of the Tiger is playing.
We open in the middle of another movie. Like this is like not the beginning of a movie.
It's a training montage for because he's got to go take down whoever the fuck.
Yes, so I'm like, what happened?
And whoever the fuck is just any random private citizen he doesn't like. Or looks at him cross, and he's running this gauntlet, this fucking machine that he's built full of plungers and other Mario-esque things to dodge and block and fight.
Yeah, he's beefing up his reflexes.
Yeah, and the effigy that he's fighting is winning.
Yeah, I will do your Mario reboot, but he's got to be called Larry because I ain't playing Italian. I'll tell you what.
Oh, Larry-o, the plumber
Super
guy.
Larry Brothers. Oh my God, ew. Also, with Jeff Foxworthy, that would actually be pretty good.
Oh,
not in good being whatever, but
Jeff Foxworthy is like the Luigi.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I could see this.
I'm Larry. Larry, he's Jeff Larry.
Yep. Oh, I can see this coming together real nice.
If I'm going down a pipe, I better be coming out of the Mushroom Kingdom.
Also, though, did you guys notice this weird detail? Like, so he's doing this all in his like back deck and his lawn and whatnot. There is definitely just a creepy armless mannequin there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not like a fighting buddy training mannequin. It's just a department store mannequin. No. I think the arms are cut off so she can't fight back.
Well, he just saw Maniac. He got some new ideas. He's ready to go.
Hey, cool. I'm going to fuck this mannequin.
Only reason I'll ever go to New York City.
It cuts my dick, but it fucked pretty good.
Man, this guy is a disgrace to law enforcement. So he is like a cop. He's like a sheriff's deputy, I think is the idea. In this town, the sheriff is about 105 years old.
Yeah. That's a joke. That's a joke.
It's an absolute joke. And we see Larry is called in on an assignment, and we get the feel of what crime is like in this town, or what the police department handles in this town.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is a hostage situation with a horse fucker.
Yes. Oh, okay.
And we are like under 5 minutes into this movie making horse fucking jokes.
You know what? That's awfully crude. This is a horse husband. And he has a horse wife.
But no, is that actually the
zoo expert is weighing in.
Please. Is that actually the crime that's being committed, or is that like the joke that between the two characters?
Well, it's the joke between the two characters. Okay. The crime is this guy, there's a hostage situation in this barn, and he's like, "Oh, Larry, I'm going to shoot this horse because it threw me for the last time." And it's this thing where like Larry the Cable Guy, total American hero,
sure,
places his firearm off to the side, says he's going to just go in, talk this guy down. And that's exactly what he does because he's the best. He's a fucking moron and he's the best.
It just made me think of Larry the Cable Guy in The Negotiator and how much I want that like yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to jail today.
Or how about Larry the Cable Guy in Lethal Weapon? Oh, you want to get nuts? That's going to handcuff you to me and we're going to jump off this building.
Oh, man. And then the person he's handcuffed to hits the crash pad and Larry just eats pavement.
just Liquid Larry.
Oh my God. Oh. That is the new movie I need, is Liquid Larry, yeah. Where he dies in the first 6 minutes and he's just a puddle of goop.
The secret world of Larry the Cable Guy.
So then is this like 80 minutes on the puddle and credits or?
No, I think the puddle becomes like a sentient CGI blob. Oh, and he's just going around.
Much
he's
like T-1000.
Yeah, he's like liquid metal almost, but it's just liquid chicken fat.
Schmaltz.
Well, all right, well, we can't go in there. The door is locked. Well, I can get in there. I'll get in on the door crack. Yeah, yeah. Hope it's not an ass crack. Sklick.
Oh, that's Sklick. Funny.
See, this is what he writes himself. So
is
funny.
Your name John Connor?
Call hey. To John now.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Why don't you just come home, John?
Hey, have y'all seen this boy? Yeah. Hey, now I'm flying a helicopter. Hey, cool.
Do you see this hole in my face?
Oh, hey, cool, I'm melting.
He's proficient with knives and farting weapons.
he's in the fucking lava, and he's like, Keiku! Keiku! Keiku!
He's morphing into all the farts he was throughout the movie.
Oh, I'm all the squeakers at once. So yeah, he solves this, by the way, with candy that he has handy.
Dude, you're giving
candy, my friend.
Dude, you are giving chocolate peanut butter cups to a horse. I hope that horse is wearing a diaper.
Or just doesn't have diapers. I don't know if you're just giving like fucking Reese's to horses. I'm not sure how that works.
Actually, that's the best situation, is the horse just furiously shits all over the barn.
Yeah.
Because realistically, it's probably going to drop dead. And he's like chastising this old man because I guess like the dude put the saddle on, mm-hmm. and he didn't notice there was some like burrs stuck on it. So the horse was like throwing him off like, hey, motherfucker, this hurts. He's like, hey, you got to check for burrs, you stupid fuck. Here you go. Here's chocolate for a horse. I'm a genius.
Hey, horse, you want McDonald's or what?
Me and this horse are going to split this Domino's.
Hey, excuse me, Mr. Domino's. My horse stepped on my Domino's. Can I get another one? Hey, cool. I know this is the sixth time this month. I'm on Domino's welfare. Yeah.
I'm going to have to kill this horse. I'm not getting ham and pineapple. God damn it.
So after this like afternoon of crime fighting, he goes to the local diner where he meets somehow. And this is a Larry the Cable Guy trope in all these movies. Somehow his lady friend is Jenny McCarthy.
In a wig, by the way. What is with this Halloween store wig she's wearing in this movie?
I don't get it, dude. It looks god awful.
It looks really bad. Like
it's
just
cheap
whatever
as fuck.
Whatever haircut she had, she's in two like three scenes. Whatever haircut she showed up with that day, that's her hair.
Because
like,
nobody gives a shit.
No, well,
while the
not.
Script called for you to have long auburn locks.
Well, does Madeline have blonde hair? I'm like,
she does. Yeah,
so yeah, I guess that's the thing.
Oh, hey, if there's two women, we ain't gonna be able to tell the difference.
That's a good point, Chris. Because it's like Larry wants the blonde, right? Because that's what culture says is better.
Yes.
And as Chris Cabin threw in right before the start of the theme song, he refers to Jenny McCarthy as, what was it?
That's how I like them, big-titted and quick-witted.
That's when he's like hanging out with the cast of Gummo, having a couple of milkshakes or whatever the fuck's going on.
I don't know what these dudes are all jerking each other off.
Yes.
And when they're not doing that, they're jerking off and watching each other jerk off.
Is that how that works?
Because later in the movie, Larry the Cable Guy calls these dudes in for help, and the dude answers the phone, clubhouse?
Yeah.
Oh, you got a clubhouse, 50-year-old man?
Don't start yet. Don't make it a semicircle. I'll be right over.
And this clubhouse is like out of a Von Trier movie, early Von Trier movie.
Well, this guy is lighting a fart for no one. Like, no one's there to, like, the thing.
Lighting a fart for himself. God damn it.
What? You're complaining about a man who knows how to entertain himself? Doesn't get bored so easily, Steve?
Lighting a fart, party of one.
No, exactly. That's a two-man job. Someone's got to be like, hey, cool, or give you the devil ears, you know?
But to Andrew's point, at least one of them should have, like, bunny ear hat going on.
I need another person to put this on YouTube.
Exactly.
It's ain't gonna film itself.
I've never lit a fart on fire.
Neither have I.
No, never did.
I've never witnessed one either.
I've not either.
No,
I think I've seen some ones go awry or just not come to pass. You know,
you have.
Yeah, like you know, it's like oh, watch this and nothing happened. You know,
I think I saw a YouTube video where like a dude tried to do it and he burned his asshole.
That's what stopped. Yeah, that's what stopped me.
Yeah, like,
I'm
all for a laugh. You know, I'm desperate for a laugh.
That's that's like one of those videos when it's like someone's doing a mortar. What do they call those mortars? Those bombs that drop in the thing.
Yes.
And then it just blows them up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've seen those videos.
Oh, nice. it was called The News in 2007.
Epic failed.
Speaking of epic fails, who's killed more children than Jenny McCarthy?
That's a great question. I mean, probably a couple of people, but this whole like anti-vaxxer thing, she's got some kid ghosts on her hands.
I guess like the Hitler. Catholic Church.
yeah.
Hitler, Stalin, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
The church.
I mean,
she's second tier. She's not first tier.
Second tier to Pol Pot?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, like you see some child serial killer. Oh, nothing on Jenny McCarthy.
Oh,
absolutely
not.
Nothing. Oh, no.
She kills classrooms, motherfucker, with her ignorance. Like, drop that shit.
There's got to be hundreds, right?
Yeah.
It would have it somewhere in there.
Also, though, we're working off the assumption that someone hears her talk and then goes, well, you know what? Jenny McCarthy's got a point.
But also, like, babies that get vaccinated, or don't get vaccinated, rather, and then die. I mean, they're not really people yet.
That's right? True. What do you get that to, like, six?
Like, when you know your social security number, that's when you become a person to me.
Oh, so when I was applying for college?
Yes.
You say that about people, but I will say, I was on a plane very recently with Jenny McCarthy and her betrothed, Donnie Wahlberg.
Oh, that's right.
Wow, little celeb story. Here we go, page six.
Chris Cabin's in first class.
I'm swigging champagne, just shitting right there, so that, and they clean it up for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a real, it's
wet
towelette,
sir?
but one of the guys like was awestruck by Donnie Wahlberg and Jim McCarthy.
Wait, someone you know?
No, the guy working the flight attendant. Yes.
Was starstruck by these two?
Starstruck. Would not stop talking to him.
I mean, about what?
About their work.
Wahlbergers?
work?
Like isn't he on Blue Bloods? That's what I think they were talking about.
And singled out?
Maybe.
Or Playboy calendars? I mean,
I'm sure there's like some C-grade anti-vaxxer comedy that I would never want to see.
Or witless protection.
Yes. And it's probably in that vein.
I'm shocked no one stormed the cockpit.
So yeah, she's like his, and this is the thing about Jenny McCarthy being Larry's girlfriend. She needs to, that's like the end goal. It should be like, she goes through a whole thing with Larry, learns a couple of lessons, and wow, now I don't see this guy as a giant baby with a fucking hat on his head.
Right.
I see him as a sexual
partner.
It starts
with her being fawning over him, and he's like, nah.
That would put tension in this movie.
Oh, right.
Oh, there was some tension when I was watching this movie, man.
Like, how are you going to survive the next fucking 96 minutes?
Dude, it was how long I could go before I turned my wrist back up and looked at my watch. It was a game I started playing.
I thought you were going to say slit it, man.
No, that was next. If this movie was over 96 minutes, which thankfully it is not, I could have ended
this
my
This was
life.
A painful watch.
Oh, my God. I do want... I need to point out, like... There's no way we're going to get to all of the lines.
No, it's impossible.
There's just too much. There's just it's a deluge.
It's joke filled.
Mm-hmm. Because at the first one, and I thought this was the height of it, and I had so much worse to go. But I thought the what were you doing, Larry? Were you on intimatecousins.com?
Oh, sick joke, dude.
But then doesn't
Do you think they brought in Jeff Foxworthy to write that joke? He did a polish on the script, maybe?
No. No. I really firmly feel he doesn't want fuck all to do with
also,
this.
Also, you need to get somebody with real experience in this. So you have to get like a Giuliani in here.
What?
Giuliani was married to his cousin.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Just don't tell Aunt Patricia about it.
I didn't know that.
It was like his second cousin.
His second cousin was his first wife.
It's pretty close.
Awesome.
Keeping it in the family all the time.
Oh, you.
Wow.
Are you like, need a minute?
I'm awestruck. Yeah. This is like if I saw Jenny
McCarthy.
This
is on John Oliver list.
Tell you, I'm pretty sure that the president of the criminal. I mean, it's my first day. What a fucking moron. What a fucking close to death moron that guy
welcome
is.
Welcome to Shelbyville.
I just like how this is what his legacy is going to be. Like all these people are hitching their stars to this fucking sinking ship. It's ridiculous.
It's kind. I mean, it sucks, but it's kind of great to watch.
Yes.
I also heard that like he was like when they were considering him for like, I don't know, one of these cabinet positions. Yeah, he kept on like falling asleep and drooling on himself in the breeze.
Oh my god!
Like he's got like
he's
problems.
An old fucking man. But you know what? Get him out of there.
You know who's smart. You know who's got a good head on his shoulders. Rudy, where is Rudy? Oh, he's in front of me. Okay.
What do you remember more, 9/11 or Rudy?
Well,
I remember Rudy.
Now that Rudy's fallen asleep, we're going to circumvent that, and Larry the Cable Guy is going to be the Attorney General.
I was going to say, Secretary of Agriculture, Larry the Cable Guy, that sounds just about right.
Well, we have to remember,
is there a Secretary of Natural Gas? Hey, cool guys.
We have to remember, though, that he would have to be Secretary Dan Whitney.
Of course.
Who's just, hello there, I'm Dan Whitney. How's it going?
I am from Nebraska.
Dan, we're going to make it up to you for having to use your real name. Okay, you get to order $34,000 of dining room furniture.
So,
hey, cool, I don't have to use no paper plates no more.
I'm shitting on a Crescenda. Whatever that is.
So they're like kind of going back and forth. Jenny McCarthy like works at the diner. She goes away.
She's kind of like, she does list off a couple of times that Larry like took it too far with the law enforcement kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God, this.
And there's something about like, Larry, remember when you broke up that immigrant ring, but it was just the Sanchez family reunion? It's like, so that's the joke, and then you got to toss a little extra fucking English on that ball, and it's Mayor Sanchez certainly was upset about that. And I'm like, wow, two jokes in one line.
Hey, I just saw some people of brown skin, and I started busting heads. Hey, I'm a cop. Hey, cool.
He's a cop that wants to, like, part of this, like, arc, I guess, is he wants to become an FBI agent.
Oh, wow.
Which, good luck. Go ahead, buddy.
My lord.
Now I'm just imagining the fucking opening sequence of Silence of the Lambs, but you replace Jodie Foster with Larry the Cable Guy, and he's trying to do the obstacle course at Quantico. Cable Guy! Jack Crawford wants to see you in his office now! Hey, cool, I'm going all the way to the top!
Now,
Don't get too upset, Cable Guy. When I talked over you in that meeting, it was just to show the guys what it was like.
Yeah, but they look up to you, man.
it's not because you're a country bumpkin.
It started as a bad joke in Mississippi PD. They said this one likes to skin his humps.
I started picturing like Larry the Cable Guy in like Twin Peaks, like, Larry, Coop's gone missing. We need you down in Buckhorn, South Dakota.
That would work. If it was him and Andy, that would be a show.
Oh, my God. Him and Andy. Wow.
Hey, cool. I'll get right there, Gordon. I like saying the name Gordon. It makes me think of fish sticks. Well,
then you got him because he has to play Larry the Cable Guy and he has to play Dan Whitney. Both in the same
room. Right. Fuck.
Yes. In the Black Lodge is Dan Whitney.
I encountered my other self, and what looked back terrified me to my core.
You know, what the best version of Larry the Cable Guy is? A tree with a fucking brain in it.
Yeah,
that's what
great.
I was going to say. That's the final form.
A tree with a bucket of chicken on it.
not only is Jenny McCarthy his girlfriend, that he's kind of like, I'll get out of here, boys club. She is so hungry for this dude's dick. It's disgusting.
Oh, man.
Right in the middle of this diner.
She's like, I need it, Larry. Larry, I need it. He's like, hey, come on, get out of here, Jenny McCarthy. By the way, give me another milkshake.
And it's like, yes, I know you're surrounded by obese men in this diner, but Larry's like the most obese.
Yes.
He is looking particularly fat in this movie. Did you notice, like, the beer gut in this movie versus, like, the beer gut in Jingle All the Way 2, where it's like,
You're
it's
right.
almost like cut in half.
It's,
like,
it's, I think
This was a tough time for
like
Larry.
Larry the Cable Guy got like stung by a bunch of bees, and that this is.
And then I ate those bees because I thought honey was inside of them.
There's one extremely gross scene we'll get to where you really can tell that it has gotten out of control.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, ew.
Actual poo.
Ooh, I don't got to wear pants no more.
Oh, bother.
So that's a great casting, by the way. Larry the Cable Guy is Winnie the Pooh. No pants, just dangling, dude.
Fuck, man. And he knows it.
My rod and tackle.
Ron White can be the donkey.
Definitely. I like the way this is going.
Donkey.
Bill Engvall is the rabbit. And, of course, Jeff Foxworthy is Tigger.
Right?
Yeah,
that
all checks out.
Mm-hmm.
That all checks out.
And our national shame is Christopher Robin.
So a caravan of cars comes by. And out comes Yaphet Kotto and this woman,
Madeline?
Madeline.
Madeline is the character's name. This woman was in Casino Royale, I think you said,
yeah,
Steve?
She's like a...
She's in 100
she's
things.
She's a Bond girl, if you want to call her that.
If you can't afford Mila Jovovich, please.
She was also... She played Riley's wife in that one episode when he comes back in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I believe that's season 6. Yeah, just nobody remembers it.
Riley?
That's the dude.
Oh, the military guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
When he's like doing better, he's got a wife. That's her. That's it.
Wow, I really did not remember that.
Wow, how about everyone at home?
people,
get that one?
A couple people at home probably got
hey,
it.
Hey, cool, Buffy the Vampire Slayer Marathon.
Ivana Milsevich, I think is the idea here. Here we have the how to pronounce it on IMDb.
Here we go.
Milicevic. Ivana Milicevic is this woman. She was in Just Like Heaven, Running Scared, Paycheck. Ooh, that's
that
a
last name sounds exactly like Mila Jovovich.
You're totally right,
know.
Though. You're totally right.
I
Kevin.
Think they're just the same person.
Mila Jovovich is in the Black Lodge. This woman's out.
She goes in to use the restroom. Yaphet Kotto is kind of like looking out for her. And then Larry gets this idea like, oh my God, this woman's kidnapped, I think.
And it's this weird, he's like, oh my God, black SUVs. Know who drives black SUVs? Drug dealers, terrorists, all around criminals.
And this is the problem. It's like you're in this fucking, you're in this bullshit town and you just want to do something and the sheriff is going to start fucking with you. That's why Larry's going to make a great sheriff in this town.
I mean, Larry, like the whole impetus of this story is like, y'all ain't from around here now, are ya?
Yeah, yeah.
It really is. It's disturbing.
Just don't you drive a black Suburban in my town.
Get out of here, terrorist. Take your 9/11 car and get out.
Hey there, John Rambo. Keep walking.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Get out of my town.
Hey, let's go kill those two motorcycle guys. Call himself Captain America. I'll show him.
Hey, cool. Now in death, they can realize that's the only true freedom.
Hey, a guy from my gun club's going to make a sequel to that movie. Hey, cool.
He's in my gun club. He's also my personal attorney.
But she goes, she goes to the bathroom. Yaphet Kotto goes to get a cup of coffee. There's this really weird exchange where he's like, hey, honey, can I get some coffee? You know, and he's being a little bit, what are you going to call there, a misogynist, or like a little bit too familiar with the help. And she's like, black? What do you want it, black?
She goes, black, honey?
Yeah, and I was like.
And Yaphet Kotto is like, look, man, I know I was kind of wrong, but that was racist.
Exactly. Like, you know what, man? Yeah, exactly.
It's like one wrong plus one super racist remark does not make a right.
Not in this movie, my friend.
But, oh, man, I just can't even. Talking about Bond movies. Poor Yaphet Kotto.
Blue Collar. Like, I just watched
Blue Collar
again.
The Paul Schrader movie. It's fucking great.
Amazing. He's an alien, man. It's him.
Oh, yeah.
Harry Dean Stanton.
The Running Man?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Oh, right.
Also, right? Huh? Previous episode?
I kind of always wanted a spin-off movie of Yaphet Kotto and Harry Dean Stanton from Alien. Like, maybe, like, it's a prequel movie and they're on their own ship.
Dude, if Alien came out in the time when we had dumb DVD extra bonus movies?
Yeah, sure.
Well, a prequel to Alien with just them two would actually look a lot like Blue Collar.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Honestly. And just get Harvey Keitel back in there and find Richard Pryor something to do.
Yeah, he'll do something. So they leave with the coffee, and Larry's like, I gotta follow. She's being kidnapped.
You're just like, oh.
I mean,
and it's Big Dumb Baby Larry. It's
yeah,
Baby
I mean,
Larry.
I understand it's a Larry the Cable Guy movie. Sure, he's sure. Fucking sure. Moron. But like, if you kidnap somebody, I don't think, and someone else around the diner needs to say this to Larry to sort of bring him back down to earth. No one is going to pull over to a diner and be like, all right, you can get out to use the bathroom.
That's a really good point.
We've kidnapped you, but let's go into this public place in front of all these people so you can use the bathroom.
You can't use language with this fucking beast. You can't beast. Do that. What you have to do, and I was waiting for it the whole time, was somebody to beat the ever-loving shit out of him and
happen.
Say, quit it.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be so cool.
Like, that's the only way he's going to learn. I'm sorry. Like,
that's why Eric Roberts is my favorite character in this movie, because he beats the ever-loving shit out of Larry the Cable Guy in the third act. It's fucking great.
That's someone else disgracing themselves being in this movie.
Oh, a big couple time. Of people do it, man.
We'll get to all of them and more.
That's why this is the most of a movie, because it's like a cast.
There is. Yeah. There's like, a real cast.
So he chases off after. He goes into his big truck. The first thing he does in this big truck is he removes some car pornography that he just has around.
Yep, you got some car print pornography.
That's not it. I know the joke is just like, he's just a guy and that's what guys do. Guys do not do that. No. Guys do not have car pornography. Serial masturbators.
Steve
have...
is getting very defensive about
no,
this.
No, I'm just... Like,
all I know is...
Hey, it... man, it's my man cave. My car's a man cave. I can do whatever I want.
Need a few road mags.
Well, exactly.
That's road the thing, mags. Dude. In my entire existence on this earth, my father has owned a truck. Never at any point in my existence has that truck contained pornography.
Did you check? Did you like take down like
the, all the time, dude? I'm like the fucking border police.
Yeah. Oh, nice. You strip that door. You know, sometimes they hide coke or pornography in that door.
Exactly, dude. No, I've stripped it bare.
Nice.
Nothing.
Did he have empty road sodas?
Does Larry have booze?
Oh, yeah. He's been drinking beer out of a fucking a helmet.
Oh, right. The beer helmet. I can drink and drive. I don't have to take my hands off the wheel.
Hey, cool. I'm the sheriff.
Exactly. Hey, I'm above the
hey,
law.
Hey, Coney, did you know I'm the sheriff?
Oh, excuse me. Did I say that wrong, PC Libtard? I'm the sheriff. Okay? Oh. I'm the sheriff. That's not a joke from the movie, but it could have been.
It certainly could have been.
There's so many moments in this movie, and I don't even get it, right? Yeah. Like, I get when, like, conservative people like to fucking punch down on liberals and whatnot, and we do it the other way. But in this movie, the way this, like, the anti, you know, like, the libtard bashing comes out is whenever a character just doesn't understand something that somebody says to them... The throwback is always whatever liberal shit. Well, like, no, you just didn't know what a word means. That doesn't have anything to do with politics.
No, knowing what a word means is liberal.
That is hugely liberal.
It's just outrageous.
Also, he's just making up gibberish bullshit words all throughout this movie, and that is his main comedic unit. Is like not saying
my main comedic unit.
Yeah, well,
oh, she's laughing at my dick.
I got my unit going off this fucking car pornography. Holy shit.
It's not like...
Oh, wow.
When he means to say, like, unraveling, he says, unravulate.
Yeah.
Oh.
And, like, that goes on throughout this fucking movie.
It's not just fake words, though, because he just, like, uses the wrong word. Like, the majority of this road... It's a road trip movie also, by the way. His interactions with this woman that he kind of... pretty much kidnaps.
No, oh, yeah, definitely.
He entirely 100% kidnaps her.
But it's a lot of, like, he says a word, and then she's like, don't you mean this word? And he's like, shut up, liberal. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So he does kidnap her, right? Like, so he goes and grabs her.
And she's, I guess there was, like, a witness protection program, hence the name of the movie, and Yaphet Kotto and those dudes were...
FBI.
Yeah.
They're crooked FBI.
Right.
Yeah. But you don't know that yet in the movie.
Right.
It's a weavy plot to the point where I'm like, were they ever FBI? Did I miss something?
They were definitely, they're definitely
they
FBI.
They're definitely FBI.
Yeah, they're crooked. The conspiracy goes all the way to the top.
Yeah,
I see.
And you know that because he thinks it. He knows that they're crooked before we even find out. So you should have known as well.
Larry knew it. How does he grab her? He just grabs her?
There's this garage fucking thing going on with his cousin.
He calls his cousin.
His cousin Jigsaw.
Hey, Larry, want to play a game?
Hey, cool, I'm playing a game.
Larry, could you stay on my basement? There's a lot of old antiques down there.
If I fart enough and suffocate you, I get the key.
Hey, cool, there's a bear trap stuck to my head. I usually step on them. Now my head's in one.
Larry, did you ruin my puppet? Did you sit on my puppet?
Oh, shit, I sat on the jigsaw puppet. Now I got splinters in my ass.
Larry the Cable Guy, you have farted in every room in this town. And you expected no injustice to come to you.
You are in a room full of candles, Larry. And under the candles is gasoline. If you fart, you will die.
He can't help himself. He just rears his fucking fat ass up to a candle and farts.
You must finish this entire bean burrito and then take the key to the lock.
Hey, cool. No, see, the fucking challenge is he has to sit with a bean burrito in front of him and not eat it.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, this is definitely not cool. It's just sitting right there. It looks so good. Oh, hey, cool.
Game over.
So, yeah, he can, like, there's some business with his cousin. And the weirdest parts of this movie, like, I think this movie is kind of also trying to be, not 48 hours, a Midnight Run a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, you know what I mean? Question. Like, we're two mismatched characters. We hate each other. And we're
stuck on the road.
And I have a position of authority, and I keep, like, roughing you up and doing stuff. It's weird because it's Larry and a woman. Mm-hmm. And he is, like, every time he, like, grabs her by the mouth or, like, grabs her arm, I'm like,
Handcuffs her to a radiator, tapes her mouth closed, literally punches her in the face later in the film. Yeah,
here's the key to that, though, is Larry's audience.
Oh, the key.
Larry's audience needs to be constantly watching a woman be belittled.
Yeah, well,
that's kind of it.
This woman, an uppity woman.
Yeah, specifically.
You know what, guys? Larry the Cable Guy just tells it like it is, and I'm sorry if you're just a bunch of fucking cowards and you can't realize that. Fucking red pill it, asshole.
Ever heard of Sam Harris? I bet not. Fuck.
We are rolling it back. You can now hit women. You could fart on them. You could do whatever you want.
That's right. Well, Larry is one of the new intellectuals of the dark web, I believe.
Yes.
I believe he was in that time speed.
You might as well. It's the same fucking shit, except they use human English words.
The only reason Larry the Cable Guy took the red pill, by the way, was he thought it was a fucking strawberry jelly bean.
So, it got me. So they go, he kidnaps her, and then, like, she's like, oh my God, you idiot, I'm a witness for the FBI. That was the FBI. He's like, all right, we'll do a hostage transfer. Hey, yeah, Dakota, we're on the cell phone together. You better write me a letter of recommendation to the FBI.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, it's so
dumb. And he's
dumb.
Like, yeah, sure, let's meet at this, like, warehouse or wherever. So they go.
Yeah.
And
this is like sad though, because it's just like, this is how a man child thinks. Like, I'll just get a letter of recommendation.
But he's smart though, because he goes to the FBI and he's like, there ain't no backup here. And he's like, nope, it's just me. He's like, and you don't have the exits covered or nothing. And he's like, no, it's not. He's like, he's crooked.
He gets it. Larry gets it.
Right, because he's the Sherlock Holmes that shits his pants.
Now, so what I was trying to do while watching this movie, and Eric already brought up the rapid-fire dialogue. Mm-hmm. You know,
rat-a-tat.
It's like watching an Elaine May movie. Like, it's amazing. Or like the Marx Brothers or something. It's like fucking quality.
Not since David Mamet.
No.
It's like, you know, you got Zeppo, you got Harpo, and now I'm Fardo.
Hey, cool, they're Jewish. No, so some lines that came about, and I don't recall the context. The first is Larry the Cable Guy. This is one of his, Chris Cabin pointed out, made up words things, where he says, "Swave and deboner." What was that?
I don't.
Oh yes, no, yeah. He was saying how
that's cablese for something.
Yeah.
He was trying to say that he was suave and debonair to this woman.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Okay. And so then also she has a line, and I don't remember what Larry said to prompt this, but she says, and this is you, 2000 and late,
Mm-hmm. How?
By impeaching Bush?
Can I help you out when he's at the garage? Can I help you out?
Oh, beautiful. See, so maybe I'll piece some of this puzzle together.
I mean, they drop Red China at some point.
That was oddly prescient.
And like, there's this whole thing, like, okay, the cousin and him have a tit bet.
Oh, right, about a woman that was mauled by a bear.
Right, like, right. That's what
are they fake or not?
Right, like, and they were scarred up, but turns out she was mauled by a bear, and they're real, because Larry got to the bottom of it. Apparently he had sexual relations.
Yeah, he did.
No, he fucking spied on this woman in the shower. Probably. But he says something about...
Open up, sheriff!
Yeah, hey, cool, you know what? I just saw Crash.
I want
up against the car, lady.
I also saw Bad Lieutenant Portacall, New Orleans.
Give me some kibble.
I want to be an FBI female body inspector.
Hey, cool, that chicken's dancing.
Wait, female bodies have nothing to do with this? Mr. Codo, nothing?
Mr. Codo.
Larry, you will call me Mr. Codo.
Who's Dan? I only see Yaphet and Larry.
Do you think that Larry the Cable Guy was like method in character the entire time?
Absolutely. Like, it's like that fucking Jim and Andy movie. It's Dan and Larry. Right.
Oh my God. I would love a documentary to come out in 20 years. And they're like, it's all these like, it's tapes of like behind the scenes Larry the Cable Guy filming these movies and refuses to not act like that.
That's amazing.
I bet he turns it off though. I bet you he does.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because, not for nothing, I noticed it once hard in this movie, he totally loses that voice.
Well, I mean, he's turned a Halloween costume into a multi-million-dollar empire here. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not that, it's not like, it's not a genius character that was crafted by a master.
Well, at least he's going to come back when Trump gives him the Purple Heart. Which I assume is happening any day now.
Yeah, because I went and did some USO comedy and twisted my ankle farting.
So it's that and the Medal of Freedom. Probably a joint ceremony.
Something also about flawless ejaculation. Just putting that out.
Oh, yes.
Thank definitely. You.
Which I thought, looking back at my notes, it's not this, but I thought it was like a flawless victory thing.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was like it had something to do with like a flawless like extraction. I don't know if it was about getting in and out of that house or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We just did a flawless ejaculation. And there is definitely, by the way, a fucking facial joke later in this movie, which we will get to.
So he re-kidnaps her again. He's about to give him out to Yaphet Kotto. Then he smells something. Something's wrong because of all this stuff. And like he outruns Yaphet Kotto's guys.
Cue pig chase.
Oh, yeah. We have honest to goodness fast motion.
Yes, yep. It's the Keystone Cops now.
I couldn't even believe it. Dude, the second I saw this frame rate speed up, I got up and started walking circles in my living room. I had to do something because I was losing it.
I'm actually for it because like 96 minutes, I'm almost there. Like, I can't do it.
Yeah, you're
like,
actually right. Speed up more of this movie.
It's like a non-thinking man's Benny Hill.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, totally.
He also steals a joke from Beverly Hills Cop. He puts a corn cob up the tailpipe.
Right.
That's right. That happens. Also, this is where he's like escaping and he's doing some crazy driving and he like jerks the wheel and her face, this poor woman, her face falls in Larry's crotch.
Yep.
And he like pulls her up by the hair and says, if you want to play with my shifter, if I want you to play with my shifter, I'll let you know.
Well, this is the other thing about this.
And then he farts on her, by the way, like right after that.
Oh, that's right. She's like, are you fucking farting in this car?
Hey, rub my dick, eat my farts.
Well, no, there's a bunch
of shaving you.
There's a bunch of fart noise.
You're lucky I brought you here.
That actually,
there's a clover field outside.
Oh, my God.
That would actually be a porn series that he produces.
Rub my dick, smell my fart. Oh,
yes, it would be. That's another $28 million for Dan Whitney.
I sat down with the good friends of Brazzers over there. They got a good operation, that Brazzers.
Yeah, I am an annual subscriber. You know, if you buy a whole year up front, you get 2 months off.
I got a deal with Naughty America on a series called Armpit.
Yeah, them Brazzers are always giving me the Brazzy Award. Larry, that's the Razzie, the Razzie Award.
Oh man, we missed out. If David Foster Wallace had survived, him, Larry the Cable Guy, and David Foster Wallace go to the AVN Awards.
Nice.
Well, I would watch that.
What a think piece that would be.
Did David Foster Wallace go to the AVN?
He wrote a big essay on it.
Oh, did he really?
It's really good.
It is
good.
Oh, that's interesting.
But this also brings up the weirdest dynamic of this. When we're doing Midnight Run, they like kind of go to a pond and they're kind of coming to Jesus a little bit. They're learning about each other a little bit. But the weird thing is, like, does he want to have sex with her? The answer is yes. And like,
I think the answer is no.
But it's on and off. It's all these like, I'm just joking. It'd be like, hey, want to kiss me? I'm just joking. You know what I mean?
She also mentions when they first see her enter the diner, there's a high class babe.
Mm. Oh, right. And not like my disgusting Jenny McCarthy girlfriend.
Well, who knows why she's wearing a wig? Ever since that fire started wearing that wig, we all know you're bald.
I hate my girlfriend.
Oh man, Larry the Cable Guy in the naked kiss.
oh God.
No, like it's always like his tactic is much like somebody who is about to be told they've been friend zoned but hasn't yet.
Yeah.
Like, it's always like, I don't mean to say I want to fuck you, but do you want to fuck me?
Yes.
Would you?
It's like he stops her. He's like, you know what, Madeline? Just shut up. Shut up, Madeline. I don't want to hear you say it. I know what you're I know what you're going to say. I don't want to hear you say it. Just give me some more time. Oh. Just give Dan some more. I mean, give Larry some more time.
Opens the door to the Burger King. M'lady.
Oh, we can't eat here. They had a gay Whopper once.
I get all my news from 4chan.
What is the moment where he says, like, ingrown hairs on my girlfriend's front butt?
You can put any of those lines wherever you want.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you just moved into a house and the movie's got, you know, wherever you want, buddy. That's fine. You know,
twice in my life, I like came down with a headache watching a movie.
This?
The first was Jean-Luc Godard's Goodbye to Language in 3D, which fucked my brain up and I had to go home. And then this movie.
I mean, this, the whole...
Front butt!
Front butt!
Your fucking vagina? What does that mean, a front butt, you fucking ape?
Well, that is the hilarious thing, because I watched it with closed caption, and I think
congratulations, you were way more invested than I was.
The closed caption keeps on like
question marks
correcting him.
Well, it also sometimes it says the reference, like it says debonair in parentheses, and then it says deboner, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then sometimes because it's so rapid fire, it's totally abbreviated, so certain sections are just not even captioned.
Oh my God.
I think you mentioned it before we went on the air, Chris, that it's like an avalanche.
Yes, yeah, it's just, you cannot. I mean,
you can't keep track of all these zingers.
We get to the motel, so like they kind of come to Jesus, but again, again, this movie should work like this. They don't like each other. They gradually like each other. And maybe in the first scene he handcuffs her. Then in like the second scene he almost does. Then he doesn't. Like, and then it grows up to he's not handcuffing her because they're a team.
Right.
He handcuffs her this entire movie.
Yep. No, the trust her. The trust never comes.
And it's so fucking Gacy-esque. Like this big man just grabbing her.
Dude, by the way, Dan Whitney, and he would use his real name for this role, stars as John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, yeah. I would love it.
Get that fucking pig in a clown costume.
Wow, that might be like his moment. Like he comes back. Like,
yeah, as Dan Whitney.
Maybe gets an award
and
of some kind.
That's perfect. And as a noted child killer, Jenna McCarthy could be, could she consult on it with him?
By the way, this movie...
She could play, what was it? Didn't like John Wayne Gacy like, oh no, we thought he met Nancy Reagan, but he met Carter's wife.
There's definitely a gag in this movie ripped straight out of Ernest Goes to Camp when that snake bites his nose.
Oh,
because Ernest and the Turtle? Yeah.
Well, they Larry have a lot is of kind DNA of shared.
Larry is kind of Ernest, but
the missing link of the Ernest family.
And the weird thing is, Ernest never got political. Ernest didn't care about politics.
No.
He was apolitical, and the joke was always on Ernest.
Hey, Vern, register to vote.
Maybe that's it at tops.
Ernest P. Worrell registering people to vote.
Ernest is the joke of the town. Everybody is like, you are a fucking loser.
But he's a loser, but like he's he's like a do-gooder at the same time.
Oh,
like,
yeah, he's lovable.
He's yeah, exactly. He's like the janitor for the bank, and Ernest goes to jail.
Oh, right. Yeah.
This is
he's
how...
He's helping the kids. He's like, he's just a dumb, lovable guy. Now, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't let my kids near him.
No, of course not.
Oh, not at all, like, dude. I'd let my kids near fucking Larry the Cable Guy before Ernest P. Worrell. You kidding me?
I don't know about that.
Dude, remember the kids in Ernest Scared Stupid.
They're gone now.
Yeah.
I would rather them turn into wooden statues than witness anything that goes on in this movie firsthand.
Like, listen, what's going to happen to your kid? Like, he's going to fart in their face, and then you're going to have to explain. Like, you're going to have to teach your children what sex is way in advance and, like, racial epithets.
Yeah.
I mean, what pork rinds are.
There's a whole thing.
Which we're not ready for pork rinds.
We didn't even get to the whole, like, really weird fucking, like, spade joke they make with Yaphet Kotto.
He does make that. He says it, and he references it. He referenced the race angle of that joke in the same breath.
It's amazing. It's truly fucking amazing.
The most amazing part of this movie is the motel.
This is astounding.
Sequence.
This is like a short film in and of itself.
This is 2008 in a nutshell.
Right. It's called Larry the Cable Guy, colon, getting racist.
It's racist. It's for sure racist.
100%
but
racist.
But at least, what is it, 30, 40% of this country will say it's not racist.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And they'll write on our Facebook page that it's not racist. That's right.
So he goes into a motel, and his thing is, like, we can't use... and like the woman is like beaten down at this point. She's like, she kind of believes Larry now that the cops are in on it, that the FBI are in on it.
So well, because like, they've like given chase, they shot out the back of Larry's truck.
Okay, you know, let's just use my credit card. We'll get a couple of rooms. We can't use credit cards. They'll track us. We gotta use cash.
Because he says you can't use plastic. Which I was very proud of Larry the Cable Guy. At no point does he say because he says can't use plastic multiple times in this movie. You'd think a follow-up gag, a two-for-one right here, condom. Is, but I can use rubber, right? Exactly. Yeah, make a little fucking Jimmy hat jokes.
So I thought you were going that he couldn't use plastic like rubbers. I got a raw dog getting there.
Hey, Madeline, I got some money in my back seat. Don't mind the car pornography. Mine not the car pornography, Madeline. It's all right.
Speaking of Madeline, this needs like a Madeline Kahn or some woman that can like
with gravitas
give it back to him. Yeah. Give it back
like
to
a
him.
Linda Carter.
No,
Linda
but that's
Carter
not,
would kick
that's
this
not
guy's
what
ass.
His audience wants.
No, it's got to be Larry's.
She has to be fucking beaten down the whole time.
He goes in with the idea that he wants to pay cash. The clerk is this actor Jerry Bednob, who has played one of the clerks in. 40-year-old virgin, one of the two guys that fuck with him.
He's a dude. How about this interesting Jerry Bednob fact, by the way? He's a Trinidad-born Canadian.
Oh, interesting.
Right? And he has East Indian heritage, though.
In the early aughts, he got a lot of work playing people that got yelled at by people for being brown. That's how it works. So he goes in, and he's like, hey, can I get a room there? And like... I think almost immediately he calls him Pamperhead.
That's early.
I missed that.
That was one.
Raghead is insane. I think somebody said no to that, and he's like, well, what about Pamperhead? It's kind of like a diaper. Babies do that. That's kind of fun.
Come on. The only Pamperhead in this world is Dengar, the bounty hunter.
Also,
that dude literally has a diaper on his head.
I know, and it's great because he got into, I think it was like a swoop race with Han Solo, and he crashed and he got injured.
And then he
always had like a slight grudge after that.
There's never a visual element to this show, but as Eric was explaining that, he put his hand on Chris's shoulder as if to say, you know what, son? This is what Dengar is all about.
Dengar!
If you panned left over to me, I was gently closing my eyes, falling asleep.
So he calls him Pamperhead, and this guy's immediately like, irritated.
Well, the first thing is vague Middle Eastern music being piped in.
Of course there is.
Was that from your closed captioning? Did it just say in French? Well, no,
that was the hilarious thing. When the closed caption came up, all it said was bongos.
Oh, okay.
But it was clearly
one of the first gags I remember, though, is this dude says, do you want to check in? And he's using a very heavy accent. And Larry goes, chicken? I don't want no chicken. I'm stuffed. And the guy's like, no, chicken. And that's, would you like to check in? And he's like, oh, check in? Why didn't you say so?
And that's how you know that this whole thing is bullshit, because he would not refuse chicken.
Yeah, you're right. This guy wants the credit card. He doesn't want to do the cash. And then, like, Larry gets into this whole thing about, like, well, I'm going to dust everything on the counter for maybe explosive powder, and you're going to be in Club Gitmo.
Club Gitmo. He says, we've just been through that Muhammad.
Well, Club Gitmo's tough because, you know, that is the Bush era's biggest disgrace, and the Obama era's biggest disgrace as well, because he certainly didn't
Trump
close it.
Trump era's biggest disgrace. It's just America's black eye.
But Obama promised to close it, and he never did.
Trump was like, we're open for business. There's going to be a casino there. It's going to be great.
Oh, wait, it's still open. Great. Thanks, Bear.
I was going to say, with Trump, there's a lot of competition. It might not be his biggest disgrace.
True. But maybe that's how you trick him, right? You're like, hey, Donald, that black guy said he was going to close it, but then didn't.
Oh, that's a good one.
You just pick up on all of Obama's broken promises, right? Also, we have to, because we're just totally like slamming Middle Eastern people in this movie, you got to dial it back a little bit to punch women in the face again, because he's like, you know what, Muhammad, we just got to get a room because my wife, she's got a female bladder, and you know what that's about.
But yeah, I mean, it goes back and forth. It's with her. It's all that stuff. Like, use your holy book as toilet paper. Throw rocks at my embassy.
Oh, right.
And burn the flag. What the fuck are you talking about?
It goes on and on and on. And
I saw millions of Muslims celebrating on 9/11. I'll tell you what. Yeah,
they were dancing in Jersey City.
That's what they said. That's what that asshole said. But the thing is, it goes on and on and on, and like, this guy's not even a character. Like,
and on and on and on and on.
So after the Gitmo threat, he allows him to check in, and then at the end of this sequence, he just goes, trash white, which means he's kind of getting it wrong. He's trying to call him white trash, which is like, you know what? This movie gives as good as it gets, right? Like, everyone's getting in on it.
Yeah, this guy got shit on for 10 minutes of film, and then he said one insult wrong.
Yeah.
White trash, what a searing burn.
Yeah, and in reality, it would be like, you fat fucking weirdo.
Exactly.
I would love it if later in the movie this dude had an opportunity to kick Larry the Cable Guy in the dick.
That'd be fucking awesome.
Like, here's your wake-up call, motherfucker. Slam.
So they go back to the room. He gets her dinner. He's eating chicken or whatever he's eating.
She's got the line of the movie right here, y'all.
Oh yes.
Well, there's two lines of the movie. One we passed over, but it's Yaphet Kotto. I got a legitimate laugh when he says, kiss my black ass. Very great. Then here, where like he's got this fucking dipshit dinner and whatnot, and she goes, stop trying to be romantic, Shrek.
Yes. Amazing. Amazing.
I had another legitimate laugh there.
He looked like Shrek.
Because he does. Like he does look like Shrek.
He does, honestly.
Like, he looked like cross between Shrek and Casper Ghost.
But he is trying to be romantic here. He's got a candle going, and he's like, I got you this special dinner. Here's that rabbit food you eat. She's like, what do you mean, a salad? Like,
she's like, I'll never have severe heart disease before I'm 50, you fat pig.
So they go to bed. He does buy. He's like, I bought you pajamas. She thinks it's going to be sexy. They're not. So then she's like, okay, I feel the threat of rape is lessened by like 2 degrees at this point.
Oh, 2 is generous, my friend.
You're still not sleeping.
Because he's just like, so stupid, he bought kid pajamas.
You've been kidnapped by a hillbilly who's now locked you and handcuffed you into a motel room.
Who is doing all this, he thinks, because this is his way into the FBI.
I'm a genius.
Yeah,
listen, dude, you just changed the score to this movie. It's a horror film.
Definitely.
He handcuffs him to her. They have twin beds. She's on one, he's on the other. He starts going to sleep.
This is where his fucking fatness really shines.
You do, because she has to interact with it.
He's got this like lousy white top, nothing, and these shorts that go up like he's fucking 79 years old.
He looks like Jackie Gleason. I can't even believe it.
But the nipples are like outside of the tank top.
That's why fat guys, and I wish this wasn't the case, but that's why fat guys can't wear tank tops. I would love to cool off in the summertime with a nice tank top. But dude, my nipples will be hanging out of this thing. I just don't need it.
When it comes time to cast the Gerard Depardieu story and you need Welcome to New York era,
yep.
Get fucking Larry the Cable Guy in there. Don't even ask him to do the accent.
Oh my God, it's just Larry the Cable Guy with a big Gerard Depardieu mop haircut.
Hey, cool, I'm going to Russia. I was a green guard.
But she's handcuffed to her, and she has to like try to get the key, so she has to like go over his fat, and she has to like kind of straddle him.
Yeah.
And at this point, he's like, hey, cool.
Keep your boner together, Larry.
Chicken.
So like, hilariousness ensues. He like almost kissed.
She's like, oh yeah. She calls him handsome. He's like, I knew you're lying. You'd never call me handsome.
No, he says because he knows he's not handsome, which Larry. Is fucking great and sad. And then so like, you know, before they romantically get together, Yaphet Kotto and the gang pull back up into the motel parking lot. They make an escape because Larry has like some award or some shit that's like a fake grenade. And he just, like, holds this grenade out the window.
I got this from Timothy McVeigh. Thanks, man. Hey, Timmy, thanks for the award.
It's not an award. It's, like, what your aunt puts up in her fucking cubicle. It's
right, the complaint department.
Oh,
pull yeah. pin.
Yeah, oh, man.
Take a number, fuckhead.
Man, that is like the prop equivalent of those t-shirts that say, I'm not crazy, but the voices in my head are. Oh, and man. All those fucking hysterical shirts you see.
Those t-shirts do the desired work of those t-shirts, which is, I don't talk to those people. Like, goodbye.
It's sort of like comic book t-shirts.
No, that's an invite only, my friend.
I don't know, Steve. You got a Batman t-shirt on. It's kind of sickening me to talk to you.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's
what
like,
Batman is that? He looks pretty roided out.
Yeah. It's drawn by Paul Pope.
Look at that.
Wow. Oh,
did he also was come he... up with Wine O'Clock?
Yeah. Was he before or after John Paul?
After.
Oh, okay.
Paul Pope. He throws this grenade. Everybody runs out of the way except for Yaphet Kotto because he's a fucking stoic badass.
This is about when Peter Stormare shows up in this movie.
Sorry. There's one more.
Oh.
There's one more disgusting joke, air quotes, in this movie. Because that happens. All the FBI guys like duck out of the way. Yaphet Kotto is like, clearly that's not real. The motel manager runs out of the office, grabs it, runs after Larry the Cable Guy screaming, Allahu Akbar, and the fucking audience goes wild.
Man.
And you
oof.
Want... I got another one, too.
Dunham did a polish on the script, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Him and John Bolton.
wait, so what did I miss?
So he the whole thing, he swallows the key that is supposed to.
This is so crazy. Disgusting.
Oh right, we gotta he does.
So
swallow
they're
the
on
key
the side of the road, yes. And there's this fucking. I hesitate to call it a joke, but there's a joke where he gets ill when he hears classical music.
Right.
So she's playing it. And he's trying to get, and he's like, not working, just not working. Trash, we got to trash something else. And she changes the channel to a quote-unquote rap song that is just shake that ass for a $20 bill over and over again.
And he's like, oh, they got their own music.
Yep, and then he throws up, and it's a bunch of New England clam chowder.
It is disgusting.
It looks... And he's so outrageous and disgusting. And you get to see him like finger through it, like, where's that key? Oh, where I put it somewhere.
I do this all the time. Don't worry about it.
He still got the wife beater on. All the time.
He's still got the wife beater on, and it's all over
it's
him.
It's everywhere.
And by the way, if you folks at home, if you ever wanted to see a bear paw through its own puke, I have a movie for you. But what he said, he's fucking ruffling around his fucking hand in this clam chowder. And he says, oh, that's good eats.
Oh, God.
And I went, wah!
It's tough. Wah! It's tough.
It was
really
so tough.
Tough.
You know, by the way, in middle school, I had a music teacher who once claimed.
Did he puke everywhere?
No, I wish. Because it would make more sense than what this man said. That he wanted everybody to be open to trying every genre of music. But he said that he refused to listen to opera. Because it made him nauseous.
Wow.
And I think that's a bold-faced lie.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think that guy was just an asshole.
It just reminds him of his ex-wife.
Yeah. His ex-wife, the opera fan.
So Peter Stormare, who's great for...
He's really pushing it to make that still be a legitimate sentence.
He's doing a British accent in this movie.
You're saying that awfully confidently. I don't know what this is.
That's what he thinks he's doing.
I think he's doing wealth America.
Yeah, he's just doing elitist.
He does say the queen at one point. Like during the polo match, he's like, oh, for the queen. Or like, and I can't even do the accent as bad as he does.
You're probably right, but it's so bad that it's just like, it's strutting that line between American and British.
Yes. Right, it's also, his name is Arthur Grimsley.
Right. It's like,
which could go either way.
We were texting about this when we were watching it, and Cabin said it was just doing like an elitist accent.
Sure,
that's
what
definitely
it is.
That's his place.
There's
in
like
the
a
movie.
Little occasionally he wanders into French every once in a while.
He's
it's
just
really
trying to be
nuts.
Yeah, like a highfalutin, like oh Muffy, oh. But he's fucking Peter Stormare.
He's a limousine liberal.
It's almost
what on earth is that?
You don't know what a limousine liberal is?
No, I don't think so.
Well, okay, so it's...
does it have something to do with Sweden, which is where Peter Stormare is from?
It's a Democrat from the North that has...
a taste for the high life.
Has money, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
You know,
Chris Christie.
No,
what?
No.
Chris Christie is not a liberal anything.
I guess that's, yeah.
And also, like,
he liberally
George
eats chicken.
George Soros.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He pays for everything, you know. That's when you ever hear anyone complain about anything, it's because of George Soros.
I don't think George Soros contributes to our Patreon. If you wanted to, George.
It would be great. Honestly, George Soros, someone I know, there's agents of his listening, protesters who are directly financed from him. Please plead with the man to donate to our Patreon.
We are ready to steer into just pure propaganda.
I would be happy to.
So, oh, for money, I can do almost
Patreon.
Anything.
Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. We will do anything.
Now, here's
money.
What I here's the thing that I was like watching this movie, and you know, it's 2008 this movie comes out.
Sure.
Right. I was like, you know what is missing from this movie? And God, my fingers are crossed that they get to it.
Jeff Foxworthy.
My eyes are crossed that they get to it.
Is a fucking grade A all American sequence that is just taking the piss out of the TSA.
Oh,
because we go from one fucked up sequence, which is this hotel situation.
Sure. Right.
He fingers his vomit. And then we go to the airport where he gets fucking detained by the TSA. And it's another 15 minutes of TSA jokes.
Because it's this thing that we had a problem with in the aughts. It's like, hey, man, I'm a white person. Why do you think that I would do something on a plane? That's what it is.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why do I have to take off my shoes? And it's like, well, you have to, sir. That's the rule. That's what we're doing these days.
Well, that's the fuck.
You're so concerned about fucking 9/11 all the time.
It does attack, like, this scene kind of, you know, they make fun of the Patriot Act in a way, which is, it's kind of good that there's sort of a scene giving it back.
But no,
it never comes up.
No. They're not
no, the
giving
Patriot
it to the Patriot Act.
Does,
Act.
Come
does
up.
He say?
It's, no, it is.
The TSA agent says the Patriot Act.
It is, the Patriot Act doesn't apply to me.
It's like, right. Why am I being detained? Hey, I'm white. Hey, look at my hat.
It's actually true. You're
and
right.
And he's fucking giving these people the business overall.
Well, the joke is he doesn't want to take his off his shoes because guess what, gang? My feet stink.
Last time I took off my shoes, it was like a bomb went off.
And they're like, oh my God, Bob.
Wait, should I not say that?
Yeah, of course, you fucking fat idiot. You fucking moron. What are you talking about?
Last time I took my shoes off, it was a 9/11.
Last time I took my shoes off was when I was getting airplane lessons in Florida.
I skipped the class about how to land, though. Also, it's fucked up because literally in the two scenes ago, he's got his fucking shoes off in bed with this woman.
Of course.
And she's not throwing up.
And they make it like TSA's fault. Like TSA just tells you to take your fucking shoes off.
Yeah, so
it's like we strongly suggest you do it. I'm like say that.
So they strip search him. He's standing there naked.
Also, we've got another timely joke to throw in here because they bring a fucking bomb sniffing dog over to him, and the dog passes out because his feet stank. To which Larry the Cable Guy goes, "Ha ha! Way to go, Michael Vick."
Oh my God! Yeah, like
the TSA just killed this animal.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that dog a bloody mess of stuffs? Because that's the only way.
It will be when I'm done eating them.
It's just amazing. It's like the screenwriters of this movie were like, how can we write a script that will make this movie completely irrelevant 3 months after it comes out?
Yep, yeah. Yep.
It's amazing.
But we get Naked Larry here.
And he's got his like balls cradled in his Bass Pro Shop hat, which, by the way, yes, Bass Pro Shop gave money to this film. And then they have the people, the other people come in, and they're all staring at his ass, and it's like a roadmap of pain.
Well, you're missing my favorite visual gag in the entire movie.
This is something.
So while they're doing the slow pan up to the Bass Pro, whatever the fuck.
I wish I could whistle right now.
There is a very, very noticeable
it's a cartoon. I love it.
White strip, untanned area on his thigh.
Because he's got a fucking hilarious, he's got it dangling, like, man. Sunburn all over his body, except for a cock shaped white outline
on
his thigh.
I missed it too.
Normally when we go through these horrendous movies, it's always like, don't go back.
Yeah.
Go back.
Okay.
You got to see it. And I'll tell you exactly why. Because there's no way his cock is this big.
No.
That's the thing. There's no way.
What are you talking about? My man's got that girth.
There is no way Larry the Cable
I misunderstood you. I thought that it was like an underwear line that you could see.
No.
It's like you can see.
He's been on a nude beach.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, like, so you're saying.
He's completely sunburned.
How long is it?
Dude, it's at least like a fucking 10-inch.
Yeah.
So he's got it like curled up in that hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
a fruit
soft
roll up.
Serve.
Like a doo-doo in a toilet bowl. It's just coiled around.
My dick looks like shit. And my shit looks like a dick.
My dick is shit. I love it.
So, and they're like, oh my God, he's so disgusting. And this guy comes in because he's going to do a cavity search. And he's like, I wouldn't do that, Cochise. I had some nachos last night, or whatever the joke is. And he goes in, and the Foley artist is farting all over the place. And you cut away, and it's like, he just shit that man to death, right?
Yes,
it happened. It was like, it was corrosive.
It melted him down.
It's just like the blob or something's coming out of his ass. It's just long and this.
Yeah,
this
dude.
Remember when
the joke should
it
be?
It sounds like the man died.
The joke should be: he goes in there and he jumps back. You know what I mean? And it's like
and
all
his
over
hand
his shoes
is ripped off. Is,
yeah, he's got to look like the guy who got hit by the chemical bath in RoboCop.
I mean,
get off me!
Because that is really what they're like building this up to be. I mean, people are fleeing the room.
Yes.
By the way, did you notice the dude that walks up to him? Visual gag again. Huge tub of Vaseline in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta get that going.
Yaphet Kotto comes over, and like for some reason they let them go, and he's like, oh, they didn't get on a plane, though. And then Larry has this joke when he's driving. He's like, I think I'm on the no-fly list right now. Yo, ghoul.
That thing ruins people's lives.
I'm just kidding. I'm wet.
Wait, I can't get a gun? What? I was improperly put on the... Hey, y'all, that's not funny. I don't care about people's lives being ruined left
don't
or right.
Don't worry, the next
this,
Congress...
This is Dan. This is Dan. I'm going to talk to you now. That's not funny. That's not funny. I'm breaking character to tell you that's... Fuck you. No.
You can ruin everyone's life you want.
Could you imagine
not...
someone not being able to get a gun in America?
That'd be insane.
I don't think it's possible. I think anyone can. There's loopholes.
Dude, Tony the Tiger could get a gun. He's a fictitious cartoon character.
That's great.
It comes with a bump stock. That's great.
So the thing unravels, and Peter Stormare is this British guy. He's got a disc that... is the MacGuffin of the movie.
Yeah,
and,
big time.
You know, Madeline knows where what the passcode is to get the information, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Eric Roberts shows up. He's like his head of
security.
And it's Eric Roberts, by the way, a talking cat's Eric Roberts. Yeah. Not Pope of Greenwich Village's Eric Roberts. This is a talking cat's Eric Roberts.
There's two. There's two Eric Roberts.
I can only talk once. Those are the rules. Yeah. The Pope of Greenwich Village, Eric Roberts, is in the Black Lodge right there.
This is where Larry pulls over to a payphone and calls like the Chicago field office of the FBI.
Sure.
By the way, she's like, we got to get to Chicago, blah, blah, blah.
That's what the court case is going to be.
Yes.
Like, in X amount of days.
So he makes this phone call to this field agent, pretending to also be an FBI agent, I think is the idea.
Yes.
And this is where
we
drop two lines. I'll say the second one first because it's way less terrible. He goes, something, something, it's heavier than Michael Moore after a Las Vegas buffet. So slam that, liberal fuck. I've got that fuck!
Dude, and that's the thing. We always go out of the way to say we're more liberal.
Oh, yeah.
This guy is so fucking huge. You're talking to Michael Moore, and I hate Michael Moore. Fine, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not protecting Michael Moore, but my God, you're both enormous.
Yeah,
Leave it alone.
He's got like 10 pounds on you? 15?
Yeah, maybe.
15 pounds?
Maybe. And then...
He's got glasses. That's literally the difference. Is he's got glasses.
Oh, he's got glasses because that's what liberals want.
Oh, yeah, liberals with their glasses.
So before that, we have to just fucking, if you're driving,
yeah, you might want to
fucking pull over.
All right, pull over.
Beep, he says that he has to do something faster than Angelina Jolie adopting jungle pygmies. Good God!
Jungle pygmies.
Good God. God!
Oh, you mean the children that she actually adopted that are her actual children?
Right.
So you're just like making fun of actual children at this point?
Of course. By the way, we can't call them babies because that would humanize them in some way.
Yeah.
So we have to use a word that's been maligned in the United States for 60 years.
Who knows how long?
It's just outrageous that like fucking Fred Q Lionsgate saw this and was like, that's fine. Leave it in. Hey, leave it in. It's a PG-13 rating.
Did they change it to pygmies? Or
from what?
Was
it? I don't know.
Oh, from Jesus Christ. From something much worse.
The X-rated cut?
No idea. Or I don't know.
I mean, it's tough. It's like
maybe babies sounded more racist.
Than jokey. Kids, dude.
It's terrible.
Hey, I fucking saw Salt in the theaters and that shit sucked. I'm going to take that bitch down in my next movie. Fucking Salt. Full price Saturday night movie. Fuck you.
Hey, Angelina, I'll stop making fun of your kids if you just apologize for the changeling. I'll do it.
Do you know how long the Good Shepherd is?
Oh, fuck. Oh, man, that movie.
It's a whole day.
That movie's boring.
Newsflash, he's not watching The Good Shepherd.
3.5 hour long movie, no.
I feel like Larry right now. You guys named 3 movies I have not seen.
this is kind of the thing. We're going to go to the thing.
We got to have another dinner. This is after the Eric Roberts introduction. They go out to dinner again at some bar.
Oh, right.
And it's literally the same, like, I got you your rabbit food. And then he orders like this huge fucking
3-foot kielbasa.
This brat, dude. This huge fucking brat.
It's disgusting to watch.
It's also like it's a tiny roll, and then like most of the tube is like hanging outside of it. So he's chowing down, and this was what I referenced earlier. He bites into this thing, and grease just fucking slings onto her face.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This is a cum shot joke. He's
that's like, a cum. Oh, that's
got,
cum.
Got a little bit on your face there, hon.
That doing anything for you?
Hey,
you
into
food stuff or what?
All you fellas, come over here and take your first bite of sausage right in front of her face.
And he says something.
Sausage bukkake.
After this fucking grease facial, sausage bukkake, well done.
Well done, really. Really well done. We're going to say well done. All right,
Oh, yeah.
We're going to grade that well done.
Let's go to the board. The joke board. The We Hate Movies in studio joke board.
Ding, ding, ding.
Whenever
ding, ding,
Steve
ding, ding.
Has a pained face, I think it's a go.
Yeah,
I think
it's pretty good.
Don't worry, it was a cabin classic.
So if you want more sausage bukkake, we'll be performing in Milwaukee on July 14th.
After he fucking slings grease on this woman's face, he says something about, I'm going to lube you up with condiments. What in the fuck?
Exactly, and it's all a joke, right?
It's a joke. Yeah.
And, it's a joke. And he's like, I'm not trying to actually have sex with you, even though you're in this weird, like, fight for your life situation. And any pass I put on you might even be considered a sexual assault.
Look, lady, I seen these movies. At some point, we gotta fuck. Them's the rules.
And not only to further prove that this is not for women at all. Eric Roberts' character, by the way, is a PMS agent.
Oh, right.
They have
private
all these,
security.
Private maximum security, yeah. I think is a joke.
Oh, God. So they have all these guys with jackets on that says PMS, and they got their panties in a bind, right?
It's amazing.
Because they're trying to get me Larry.
I feel like... the writer's room for this particular gag was like, all right, everybody, the world knows the classic joke FBI female body inspector, but what if we made it even dumber?
Yes.
Also, so this is where it's revealed. He says something like, yada, yada, your inheritance. Oh, and she's like, what? And he goes, oh, I know that, you know, she's her last name, it turns out, he recognizes because her family owns this fucking sausage company.
Sausage King of Chicago.
Of course, it's his favorite sausage.
Yes.
So he, like, knows the score with this woman or whatever. And she actually, at this point, like, he gets in her face.
You're related to Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago?
Like, he gets close to her, and she goes, like, Larry, you smell like my childhood. Yeah. And he's like, I'm sorry. And then to which she throws back, no, 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 that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, ew.
Oh, oh, and also the when he talks to her, and she laughs at one of his stupid fucking utterances. And she says, oh, it does laugh. Oh, yep. It, the property. Yeah. It laughs in front of me.
Oh, oh, totally. Also, somewhere around here is he's talking about like the whole conspiracy that he's trying to unravel here. And he goes, it's like Michael Jackson trying to run a daycare center. It don't make sense. Yeah, well done.
The back row right
the
there.
The dude was dead months later.
This movie has a fake, oh my God, is the movie ending? No, there's still 40 minutes left. So they at some point, Larry is like, he meets up with Eric Roberts. He realizes Eric Roberts is crooked. He's like, oh man, everyone's in on it. The only way that this is going to work out is if you fake your death.
Oh God.
Yes.
He blows up his truck and like there's a big like, sad, I blew up my truck thing, and she's like,
I blew up my truck.
No, there is some fucking, I love this bar.
There should have been a fucking Toby Keith song made specifically for this movie called I Lost My Truck. Had 200,000 miles left to go. I lost my truck.
Yeah, I noticed chicken fry. That's about it.
No, it's ooh, I am obese. But no, so he blows up his truck and like there's a kind of a tete-a-tete.
All those porno mags go
up. Oh no, man, not the porno, not the porno.
Oh no, my stroking stuff.
Oh shit, eBay's gonna have my ass. I was supposed to sell those. Oh, some guy in Carolina wanted them.
I already listed the auction.
Oh no. Oh no, my homemade fleshlight was in there.
Oh, fuck.
Homemade.
What is it made out of? What is it made out of?
Pigskin.
Pigskin?
Yeah.
I would say it's probably gonna be
an old lamp.
He just took
it's my little baby cousin's Nerf gun. He's fucking it.
He took like a canister that you put tennis balls in and dumped all the tennis balls out and then filled it with a bunch of used wet naps and fucked it. That's a whole
thing. And then doused it all in gasoline.
Wet naps sting, man.
No, okay, so it's just rancid meat covered in formaldehyde. I'll keep it fresh.
But speaking of rancid meat and Leatherface, we meet Larry's cousin, right? Or his brother-in-law.
So Doc Savage.
Doc Savage. So he's like, all right, he's a doctor. He's a crooked doctor. He'll hook us up. Uh-huh. But the idea is they blew up in the car.
Right.
But he did.
There ain't no bodies, but nobody's thinking of that.
So they, he's like, all right, and like, Joe Mantegna,
holy shit!
Both Joe Mantegna and Peter Stormare are doing like Andy Kaufman-esque.
They're like super against type.
Yeah. Yes, but
Mantegna is trying to do like an effete Southern thing. He's trying to do like a Zach Galifianakis impression.
Sure,
like when Zach Galifianakis does his twin brother, like
he's playing like a homosexual man in this. Yes. Feels
yeah,
like.
But no, he's married to a big fat lady. Is the idea? Yeah.
My sister Denise is a biggin. Because this dude is Larry's brother-in-law, he says. Also, because he's trying to like make Madeline feel secure and like with the plan that's going to happen, he goes, you're going to be like Anna Kournikopia in a gay bar. Totally safe.
What?
Yes.
Anna
I
second Chris Gavin's what?
Let's go to the board. You know. What is correct?
And we get all these rumblings upstairs. Oh, she's a big girl. Oh, don't worry. She's just taking a piss.
Oh, right. They cue like a waterfall sound effect.
By the way, yeah, like Larry is just totally fat, but a fat woman can't even be seen. Or it's heard, like an, really, it's an inhuman monster.
Exactly. It's the Simpsons gag woman. Where Jay Sherman has a date with Eudora Welty.
Yeah, exactly. Coming Eudora.
That's Krusty. Yeah,
oh, yes, you're right. It was Krusty the Clown.
We gotta go see my cousin Al Bundy.
So Botox her face to death, apparently.
Yeah, like the idea is like it simulates death and it makes her look like she's dead. They put her in a coffin and all of a sudden, I mean, there's dropped lines all over the place. It's Peter Stormare and Eric Roberts show up to see her dead, to make sure she's dead.
Right.
And they're like, oh, she's dead. I guess the movie's over. I'm like, oh, shit, is the movie over?
That'd be great.
Can I put on Chopped? Can I put on Chopped?
We fooled
Peter Stormare, can I put on Chopped?
We fooled them. Roll credits. That'd be great.
But no, you know, they go away. And this is the point where Larry comes out and he's like, are you okay? Look, she's dead. How dead do you think she needs to be? And he starts punching her in the face.
Shaking her, slapping her, and punching her.
And
take custody away from me, will you?
And
Larry, it's not that.
They're satisfied that she's dead. They leave. She comes in, and it's the same thing as Trash White. She gets one punch on him. She's like, don't knock me around, Larry. And it's right. Like, yay, everything's equal. No, it's not.
Then they jump on a mulch barge and sail to Chicago.
Yeah, oh, right. And then so once they're in Chicago, things get really murky. For some reason, Larry has to enter a polo competition, which I don't understand. And what's her name? Madeline is also handcuffed to a bathroom and tied up. And again, like this is the part of the movie where like she's fake died, blah, blah, blah. She's either in on it or she's okay, like... He shouldn't be grabbing this woman and handcuffing her up.
Still doesn't trust her. Oh, it's because, though, the trust is broken because they're in this hotel room. They're getting ready to, like, do this fucking stunt or whatever. Scam.
To get the disc, I think, is the idea.
Yeah, and so she says, he's like, so-and-so is pretending to whatever. And she goes to him, just like you pretend to be a law enforcement officer.
Yes.
And his heart breaks.
But he's also a professional kidnapper at this point.
Right, yeah. So then his heart breaks and he chains her in the bathroom. and I think the idea is he has to win this polo match against Peter Stormare in order to... get an invitation to a ball that's happening.
Holy fuck! Because now we're just trying to do James Bond or something.
Was this one of the last lines I have? I'm almost towards the end of my list here, where he says that his dream would be have a nut rub from ScarJo.
That's right. Scarlett that's Jones. Exactly
like,
right.
Like, mm-hmm. Dude, she like I don't think she's going to watch this movie, but she could have.
Yeah,
there was a chance.
This is when he realizes that Paul. Polo, so the game on horses where you got mallets and balls and whatnot, is much like, it's just Demolition Derby with horses.
Yes. Right. The whole point of this is just to ram these fucking horses together.
Destroy them. Make some glue.
He beats the shit out of Peter Stormare with the mallet. Peter Stormare falls off his horse and face plants into a pile of horse shit.
He's embarrassed in front of all of his wealthy friends.
So on and so forth.
We're slobbing versus snobbing all over the place.
Yep.
At this point, you know, what's her face shows up. She's pretending to be somebody else.
Where did she get this wig?
She bought it.
Got it from Jenna McCarthy. She shipped it
from her wig palace. She winds up kind of getting caught. Everyone realizes it's her. Larry the Cable Guy goes upstairs to fight Eric Roberts. This is the big fight scene where he gets the shit kicked out of him.
Eric Roberts says that he's about to enact the fighting stance of praying mantis. Larry counters with saying he's winded walrus.
No, actually, it's even worse. Eric Roberts says he's crouching tiger.
Oh, yes.
And you get, I mean, like, honestly, like, this movie had 0 stars to begin with. It's negative stars. Anytime any movie goes, hoo-wah, gets into a karate stance, it's 0 points. It is negative points.
It's so bad. But then throughout this movie, he's making reference to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh, right.
And he says something
very
about
topical,
like,
very of the time.
Yeah.
And he's like, is it your final answer? Eric Roberts is like, what? And then he like fucks it up and says some other game show. And Eric Roberts is like, that's not the right game or whatever.
Oh, I think it's the other one. The one with the lady. What was that one?
the lady.
It was the baby looked at you. It was the one with
the weakest link.
Weakest link. You are the weakest link.
Oh, yes. He says, you are the weakest link. Goodbye. Yeah, and then he's like, that's not even the right game. And this is where Larry goes, he says something about, no, that's the one with Regis. But this is where Dan Whitney's accent breaks. Oh. And he's just like, no, that's the one with Regis. Yeah. And you're like, whoa, dude, take two, man.
My friend, Regis Philbin.
And then he's going to fight him. He says, it's like a two-fingered cripple trying to return a text message.
Good God.
Dude, the laughs keep on coming in this movie, man. I can't even believe
another it. Another fucking bullshit line where he says, I'm going to pinch out a grumpy, which is a shit.
Yeah, pinch out a grumpy, dude. You put that on a t-shirt or a Father's Day card.
No get or dones in this movie. Zero get or dones.
I missed it. I'll be honest. I missed it a little bit.
We say this, I feel, every time we do a Larry episode, though. But, like, does Larry have a movie where he says get or done?
He says it in the
It's not in Jingle All the Way, too.
He's in Health Inspector, for sure.
Was that his first feature?
Yes, Health Inspector was it. And then maybe we'll see what happens in Delta Forest.
Get it right.
Delta Forest.
Delta Farts. How was it not Delta Farts?
He gets the disc because he defeats Yaphet Kotto. Like, they kind of come to terms. Like, hey, Yaphet Kotto, there's a safe with a bunch of money. Why don't you take that money?
Yeah.
And Yaphet Kotto's like, can I be out of the movie, Larry? He's like, yeah, you could be out of the movie.
And he bests Eric Roberts because he distracts him. He's like, here, you got the disc, and, like, runs away. And they're like, Larry, you gave him the disc? And he puts it in. And it's a video of Larry the Cable Guy doing Achy Breaky Heart karaoke.
That's Peter Stormare.
Yes.
He actually bludgeons Eric Roberts over the head until he's presumably murdered.
Weakest Link references are actually kind of close. Billy Ray Cyrus references.
I don't know what he's got a dumb mullet on, like, because it's 2008 and mullet jokes are huge.
He just recorded his own video of him singing Achy Breaky Heart.
They make reference
wig,
to it earlier in the film.
But
they
he carries it around with him.
No.
It's kind of weird.
He says it is a sexual aid
for
Jenna
is.
McCarthy.
Yes,
she finds him more attractive when he has the Billy Ray. So I, for a moment there, was on the verge of a heart attack because I thought I was going to see a quote-unquote fake Larry the Cable Guy sex tape.
Oh, Jesus. I thought
I was going down for good.
Then you'd have to have a get her done.
Shouldn't have ate that all that pork.
Who am I kidding? I totally should have.
Peter Stormare, top five. I would never want to see that guy in. I love his work. I would never want to see him in public. What would happen?
Would you get too aroused?
No, I think he's just too intimidated, too scary, dude. Nah. Like, I would not want to have dinner with Peter Stormare. You know what I mean? Like, what would we talk about?
Absolutely nothing. No. It would be dead silence for 45 minutes.
I remember when Werner Herzog came to the Jacob Burns Film Center. I was out there in the lobby, and I was like, should I say something? And I was like, I'm moving around the lobby so he doesn't notice me, even though I'm right next to him. I couldn't make the jump. I couldn't do it.
I spoke to him. He came for Encounters at the End of the World. He came for a Q&A, and I talked to him briefly, and he told me his story that he tells, I think, in Werner Herzog Eats His Shoe, about when he came to America, he had KFC, and he became obsessed with it, so much so that it was the only thing he ate for, like, a year or something
was
like
that. Oh, and what story would this gentleman like? Oh, he's a fat guy. Oh, the KFC one. Werner used the KFC man. One.
Well, we know exactly where he's going when he meets Trump. Beeline it.
When he meets Larry the Cable Guy.
Exactly.
Right? You know, Larry, we are not too different, you and I. We both have that carnal instinct for the chickens.
I was able to stop my addiction. You clearly have not.
So then it's just this thing where, like, the Chicago FBI dude is like, hey, Larry, you really covered my ass. Thanks a lot. Hey, want to be part of the FBI? You're like, what the fuck, man?
You're the best FBI agent,
and
Larry.
And he's like, nah, that's cool, man. I'm going to go back to the swamp.
But we got a blue rose case for you.
And, like, this woman, Madeline, is just like, Larry, are you sure you don't want to stick around? I was like, for what?
This is his choice now.
Yes,
is the FBI and fucking Madeline for the rest of his life in Chicago, or going back to Jenna McCarthy in their Ace Ventura home?
Nah, you know, she's gonna be like, she wants to see a foreign film or something. No thanks.
Yeah, you know what, man? I'd stay in this town, but their trains run above your head, and it freaks me out.
She looks like a shower every day, Tad.
I'm a shower every month tap.
And then just the end of the movies, he's back at the diner. Jenny McCarthy gives him a milkshake. They start making out.
At some point in the movie, the sheriff, we go back to the sheriff, he reveals that he always wanted Larry to take over for
him. Right,
because he is so old, blah, blah, blah. That's a thing. And actually, Larry even says at the end of the movie, he's like, well, I just learned I belong where I belong or something like that.
Yep. That's
moral of the story, never go further than 20 miles from where you're born.
And now I can just start fucking commenting on Fox News message boards.
Well, no.
Just really lean into the skid.
Fuck around on Twitter.
Or literally be on Fox News, which Larry the Cable Guy was.
Of course he was.
I'm a contributing editor at Breitbart.
pretty soon, man. I heard Dennis Miller's going there now. Right?
That's pretty cool.
He was there already. I think he published something there already.
That's awesome.
You were always here. It's like a photo of all these fucking comedians that became right wing and his hands out. It's like, you were always here.
Man, Dennis Miller wins the Go Fuck Yourself Award of the Decade. Fuck that guy.
It's pretty bad.
Piscopo's up there.
Piscopo's up there. So it ends with like this 360 shot of the two of them making out. It's
just like the end of Broken Flowers.
Yep.
Hey, your mouth tastes like chicken.
And then we fade to black, and thank fucking Christ that's the end of the movie. I didn't stick around. Or no, I did stick around. Nothing in the credits. No stingers.
No, yeah, I fast-forwarded.
No Thanos down there?
No. Nothing. Although the funny thing is...
Oh, I threw up one of the Infinity Stones. Gotta go get it.
Oh, dig it out.
I got the chicken stone. Also, though, one quick last detail that's obnoxious and kind of mildly offensive to anyone who's actually served in the military is like... When he gets back to this diner, it's designed. There's like a bunch of like red, white, and blue banners. It's welcome home, Larry. All of this shit.
More like red, white, and poo.
There is in the first of all, just I can never skip a Thanos joke. I would love if it was the blue collar comedy tour. They're performing, right? It's all four of them, and then fucking Larry and Foxworthy start. I don't feel so good.
Oh shit! Turn into leaves, man. I'd love it.
Boy, but snap the middle
those fingers.
This movie stops fucking.
I want to live. I don't want to die.
I don't feel so good, Ron White.
Oh, well, you see, it actually makes sense that Larry had that reaction because of his chicken sense.
If you ever start dissolving because a purple guy snapped his fingers,
you just might be an Avenger.
So,
what are you saying, Steve?
Movie stops dead in the middle of it because this is 2008. Like, this is post Katrina. The Democrats took back the House at this point. Like, everything, you know what I mean? Things are shifting. Obama's about to get elected. But we stop it dead for this like ticker tape parade thing about soldiers.
Oh,
it has nothing to do with the movie.
That's right. I totally forgot about that.
And like for the rest of the movie, Larry's actually wearing like a soldier. What do you call that ribbon?
He's got a ribbon. It's not the yellow support the troops.
No,
soldier.
It's the red,
it's
white,
like
and
a
blue
red, white, and blue ribbon or whatever.
And there's this like weird one that's a fetish for somebody where to get out of the handcuffs in that one scene, Madeline starts using. She has it on too. She's using her tongue to get it off, and it's like this takes a while,
dude. And right, like this woman has kind of a long tongue,
longer tongue, sure.
And it like slithers out of her mouth, and the fucking score, like she's trying to like escape these handcuffs, but for a split second, it's like bow,
yeah.
It's, and you're like, yeah, I get it.
Well, and that's not like he has a camo flip phone.
Well, that's, well, that's and no just... one can see my phone, my Infinity phone.
Fuck you, dear.
You can't see me calling in death.
You can't use my minutes, dear.
This way I can hunt and call into Rush Limbaugh.
Can't take my unlimited texting, dear.
Oh, my God.
That's blissfully the end of the movie. Yeah. Would anybody recommend Witness Protection?
This is the most movie of all three, of four, I think. Whatever number we're up to with Larry.
I think we're four?
This might be four,
Is this four now?
Yeah,
what that we've done?
Tooth inspector.
Four,
Tooth inspector. That's a dentist.
Yes.
Tooth Fairy 2, we did. Jingle All the Way 2.
And Health,
Health Inspector.
This is four.
Four of five.
It is the most movie-ish,
it is
but
the most
it's the worst one.
It is. It's really bad. It's steer clear.
It's almost a seeing is believing.
Oh, wow.
Because it is real. It is. I haven't seen anything that is even as close to like representing what you were seeing at this time.
This was in the culture, the Bush era culture. I can't. 110%.
Southland Tales comes close. I know I'm the only one who thinks so.
I didn't rewatch that movie. Maybe.
But this, it really, like, I don't want you to watch this. But if you needed a reminder of what that was all like,
or if you were too young to remember,
yes,
true.
This is what it was.
Yeah, I would say never watch this. I watched Gymkhana and Blind Fury instead. The director and writers work in the 80s, which was also fueled by conservative paranoia, I'm sure. But
early work is definitely better.
But those were fun and totally enjoyable movies, and this is not.
Well, so they had karate.
They did have karate.
Yeah. And gym karate.
That's true.
I'm kind of going to take Cabin's response one step further.
Wow, I did not see a split decision.
This is a seeing as a believing, and I also think it would probably be a bunch of fun, because listen, I've had a lot of fun here tonight.
Okay.
I think it's a thing, if you got a group of friends together and watched this and ridiculed the fucking tits off it,
sure,
it would be great. It would be a lot of fun. This dude sucks. This movie sucks. Its message sucks.
Well, his character sucks. Dan Whitney might be a great guy.
Dan Whitney
is not a great guy.
No,
he's never emerged into public, so I don't know.
Unless you go on YouTube and look at old Tampa stand-up clips from 1992.
He takes off the fat suit like Mrs. Doubtfire. It's Michael Shannon the whole time. Whole time was Michael Shannon.
That's Witless Protection from 2008, directed by Charles Robert Karner. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out WHMPodcast.com. Find us over at the beautiful HeadGum Network. Rate and review wherever you get it. We'd greatly appreciate it. Find us on Twitter. Follow us on there, you guys, at WHMPodcast.
Yeah, get that going. And rate and review the show. It only helps the show.
Right.
Give us good ratings. We get bad ratings all the time. We'll get like at least 3 for this one because people go, well, true. I guess I can't like Larry the Cable Guy.
No, you can't. How about that?
Yeah, I think
there's plenty of stuff to like.
Hey, Eric. Oh, epic fail. Yes. Hey, 0 out of 5 stars. Epic fail.
Hey, Eric, have you been to the mailroom lately?
Oh, shit. No, let me just... Oh, wait. Thanks, Morty. Thank you for this mail. Got
man,
it right
that
here.
Guy's going to die at his desk. That Morty, man.
Oh, my God. Here we go. All right. Whoa. News desk, guys. Holy shit. We have a Patreon page.
Yep.
Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. And we've got multiple tiers on there. Boom.
What?
$3 tier. That is Animation Damnation. You can instantly unlock... I don't know. We're 21.
Playing some bunch of episodes on a bunch of stuff, including and this month, the Boss Baby Netflix show. You're going to want to listen to that. It's about constipation.
Yeah, an episode called The Constipation Situation.
Go up to the $5 level. You get our exclusive monthly episodes. So far, there's been Bright, Man of Steel,
Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
Ooh. Jungle to Jungle, and now available Transcendence.
That's right.
Also, you get the back archive of the first like 100-something shows, completely ad-free, re-edited and stripped for your enjoyment. Stripped for your enjoyment.
Oh, shit, my chicken strips.
And ladies. So, as in, that's what Larry likes, is stripping ladies.
Stripping ladies and chicken strips. That's exactly right.
And the $8 level says right here.
Yeah.
Star Trek.
Yeah,
we talk about Star Trek.
Oh, shit, the Nexus.
But not just Star Trek, Eric.
Oh.
Commentaries, my friend.
Yeah, correct. What movies have we done on those commentaries?
Cloverfield Paradox we've done.
Rambo?
Taken 2, Rambo the Movie.
Twilight.
Rambo the Movie.
Rambo 2008. The Twilight movies, at least Twilight and Twilight New Moon so far.
There's going to be another one this
year.
Sometime
in 2018, another Twilight commentary is coming.
Right. And by the way, we're up to, I think, 21 Star Trek podcasts. So,
yeah.
For a sample of that, maybe it'll hit the feed soon and you'll get a taste for it.
And the first 100 episodes on the 5 and up tier.
So next week on the program, where are we going?
Oh, it's going to be an all-timer.
It's happening.
It's X-Men Origins Wolverine.
That's right. Jesus. And am I correct here? Is this kicking off the summer blockbuster extravaganza?
It is. It is. We're starting on Memorial Day week.
Wow. There it is. So get your hot dogs and hamburgers ready. We're going to be talking about
this
all
this movie's
sorts
got
of...
Dumbpool.
Oh, yeah. It's Dumbpool, dude. That's right. Dumbpool in full effect. So until next week, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
HeadGum Podcast.